Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago. Definitely with not a live studio audience, yes, but very excited for a really fun podcast this week called Cheesehead Inspiration. Yes, it is NFL playoffs, and you will not get an ESPN show over here about the latest sports, but there was a major inspirational moment, a life changing in many ways moment that I had with the famous or infamous Cheesehead. So God willing, we will get to that, and I'd like to give the frame for that. First, I want to tell you what an incredible week Project 613 had. Last week we had Gal, our amazing Project 613 participant, his story. We did an armchair discussion, which was a great format. I'm really into it. I'm looking forward to doing more. It was an interview, and he is Israeli, and on October 7th went back and fought in Gaza and brought back his pictures and his story, and you could hear a pin drop. It was absolutely unbelievable. What a great night. A packed house in our Project 613 Center. So that was a very inspirational, powerful, and informational as well evening. And then followed that later in the week by our incredible Shabbos in the city, downtown Shabbos, with another great crowd for dinner and then lunch, and even a few who made it through the entire Shabbos. We're so proud of everyone who came for small, medium, or large amounts of the Shabbaton. Just confirms what a great, great space we have. I'm so blessed to have our space there in River North. Okay, so that's what's going on, catching you all up. Please do me a favor, like, subscribe, and share the podcast. I think that's really the best thing. A lot of you, I've really been getting, especially since October 7th, a lot of feedback. People have been enjoying it. I have a full-time job, more than a full-time job. If this podcast is meaningful for you, please just send it. Send it off to people, a few people, and say, hey, check it out. Okay, thank you very much. Would love the great Torah lessons to get out there. All right, now, here we go. Here is the frame of the story. The frame of the story is based on the Torah portions of the week, this past Torah portion, Parshas Bo, which talks about the final three plagues, 8, 9, and 10, and then Yetzias Mitzrayim, the actual leaving of Egypt. Okay, and again, we explained before, this is not the holiday cycle. This is the Torah reading cycle. And so when we start at Simchas Torah and we read a Torah portion a week, we come up to Exodus at this time of year of Shemos, which talks about the leaving of Egypt. However, we're commanded in the Torah to observe that holiday when it actually happened, which is in the springtime. Okay, so the question on the plagues is, why do we need them? Like, seriously, God wants to take us out. He's got a mission. What is this, some sort of song and dance show? What? It's each plague, by the way, took a month. There was a month of the actual plague. There was a week of warning before, 2 weeks in between. Some of them varied, but basically the entire, each plague took a month. So what's going on? Quote unquote, why is Hashem dilly-dallying over here? Just freeze frame the Egyptians and take the Jews out. And I think we've mentioned here before that the plagues, the goal of the plagues wasn't just, or maybe even not even mainly, to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, but to be the greatest sound and light educational program, story, experience in world history. Second only maybe to the sound and light show at Mount Sinai. But, and there is a famous Ramban, Nachmanides, who on chapter 13, verse 16, takes this basic idea that God is not just quote unquote playing games. There's a real important reason why God is doing this. And I want to share with you that Ramban, and it's a few steps to it. It is something that people will say, oh, it's a famous Ramban. Like, you know, it's, ladies and gentlemen, it's the top 40 rabbinic hits. Okay. I always thought when I first started learning, people were like, oh, it's a famous Ramban. Like, okay. Like, which chart is it on? Is it on the top 40, top 100 famous rabbinic commentaries? Okay. Anyway, this is known as one of the famous commentaries of the Ramban of Nachmanides. And it behooves all of us to either learn it or to be refreshed with it. And the Ramban begins by saying that he's going to explain a principle that explains the purpose of many commandments. And I'm going to fill in the information so we can follow this. We'll hold each other's hands as we go through this. What does he mean? Many mitzvos, many commandments, even the Torah themselves says, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. This mitzvah is a remembrance of the leaving of Egypt. This mitzvah is a remembrance of leaving Egypt, and so on and so forth. Okay, and what are some of them? Shabbos, believe it or not, tzitzis, mezuzah, tefillin, and others, many others, are specifically, the Torah says, these mitzvahs, oh, these are to remember Egypt. Okay, well, thanks. What exactly are we supposed to remember? And from there, he launches. And he begins with a little bit of a historical background. So there's a guy named Adam and Eve, and they believed in God. But since then, it kind of deteriorated. And we got people with heretical beliefs. Really, three different types of heresy. One, which we know as atheism, i.e., people are certain that God does not exist, God forbid. The second type of atheism, let's call it, is called deism. Now, many of the four founding fathers of America were deists. Deists are believe in the great clockmaker of the universe, i.e., the world is really too complex to have been just poofed together or randomly selected, or however you'd like to say it. And even then, before even all the vast technology that we have to see on a much deeper level, molecularly, etc., even then, our founding fathers said, no, it's way, way too complex of a universe and too much brilliant design for it to have happened by itself. But basically, God wound up the clock and said, see ya. Okay, you're on your own. And that is deism. So they admit to a creator God, but they do not believe that God actually is involved in the running of the world. Okay, and then there are those that believe in God and believe that he is involved, but he's just not all powerful. And that's called polytheism. There's many gods. There's the moon god and the sun god and the mountain god and the lightning god, and basically that turns religion into a jukebox. Well, I don't get what I want from the lightning god, so then I'll sacrifice my virgin or kill my firstborn to show how much I'm sacrificing to these powers until I get what I want from the sun god. And if that doesn't work, I'll go to the wind god. And it basically, polytheism devolves in a total selfishness because it's all about what the god can do for me and not a relationship between both of us. And so what do the plagues do? According to the Ramban, the plagues with incredible accuracy totally destroy all three of those things. Atheism, right? Pharaoh is like, who is Hashem that I should know him? Well, Pharaoh, when you're using the bathroom in the morning and Moshe says, watch out, there's got to be a plague. And he found out very quickly that God does exist. Okay. And clearly we see that in many of the plagues, God was, well, all of them, he distinguished between the Jews and the Egyptians, which is incredible demonstration that God is involved in the world. In the verses, Hashem bekerev haaretz, I'm in the midst of the land. What does that mean? It means that a Egyptian, a Mitzri, and a Jew could be drinking from the same glass. And whatever the Egyptian drinks is blood, and whatever the Jew drinks is water from the same glass. It means that God is ruling over every single detail and happening in our lives. That is unbelievable. Except, of course, our free will. We choose how we respond to that. That's another discussion for a different time. But in terms of what is pitched to us, what's thrown at us, what environments, what circumstances we have, that is all the Almighty. Okay, and the final one is the polytheism, is that, oh, you know, there's a lot of gods. Well, that's why the plagues were targeted strikes in the Nile and then up onto the land and then up onto the animals and up onto the people and up onto the sky. And if you would chart it, it starts low in the lower hemisphere and goes all the way up because it is checkmate. God basically is showing to this polytheistic mind, okay, fine, you knocked out the Nile, but what about the land? Oh, the land turned all to lice, about a foot and a half filled with lice is the topsoil. Ooh, okay, oh, but you don't control the animals. Oh, boom. It just destroyed the animals. Okay, and then, you don't control the agriculture. No, destroyed all the crops. Oh, you don't control all the things that come from the sky. No, God controls everything. Checkmate. And so therefore, these plagues were the greatest educational demonstration showing that atheism is wrong, deism is wrong, and polytheism is wrong. That God exists, he's created the world and involved in the world, and he is the only source of divine power. And the Ramban continues, and he says that that message, that God exists and he's all powerful, is concretized in the message of these mitzvahs of Shabbos, of mezuzah, of tefillin, of tzitzis, of all of these things. They're very cheap, very inexpensive. Well, tefillin are kind of expensive, okay. But, you know, tzitzis, a mezuzah, these are not expensive mitzvahs. And just with a little bit of money, we can plug into the fact that Hashem creates the world and he's involved in the world and he is the one who controls everything in the world. And so that's why the Ramban says that the Torah has so many of these mitzvahs that are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, that are a remembrance of the leaving of Egypt. And he continues and says, that's why we come together to pray in synagogues. Basically, to all get together and say, Hashem, you created us. We're allegiant to you. You are the CEO of the universe. You say jump, we say how high. And he concludes by saying, from these public miracles, you can then see the private miracles. From the fact that God can cause fire and ice come down together as hail and miraculously break the laws of nature, then you see that God is in charge in the actual laws of nature. What everyone calls, oh, Mother Nature. Yeah, Mother Nature, my foot. Anytime you hear someone say Mother Nature, it means God, Hashem himself. And the final thing is, the question is, he says, well, why do we do these mitzvahs? Because God is not prepared to reprove himself every generation. Why? Because if God would do these open miracles every single generation, he would take away our free will. Now it's up to us. Are we going to believe our parents, our grandparents, the tradition? Are we going to look intellectually, honestly at a strand of DNA and really say that just poofed into existence? I'll give you trillions of years with natural selection. Look at DNA, one strand, Mother Nature. No, it's Hashem. Please do me a favor. Look at a strand of DNA. Look at it on Wikipedia. Look at it. See what it does. It zips and unzips with a precision happening trillions of times a second in our body. Zipping and unzipping in every cell. Okay, I don't want to go on this. You get the idea. And so from those public miracles, we can see that God controls our lives. And so therefore, this past Friday night, with that background, I asked every table. We had so many people, I couldn't go around one by one. I said, share a l'chaim at the table, a toast. And I asked them to tell a story that couldn't have happened by chance and share it. And then I had a representative from each of the tables tell their story. There were some crazy, crazy stories. Really, very, very special. But I want to cut to what I was building up to, which was my story. And this story happened I believe, Friday, January 5th, 1996, maybe Thursday, January 4th, 1996. I'm not sure. Because the Green Bay Packers were playing the San Francisco 49ers on Saturday, January 6th, 1996. And unfortunately for the 49ers fans, including me, the Packers came into town and defeated the 49ers 27-17, ending their season. And where was I in life at that time? Well, I had done 2 years at Stanford University. I don't know if I can mention that anymore. Is that still prestigious or not? Okay. Back then it was. And we've talked about this a few times before. I don't want to go into too much depth, but basically was disillusioned by the lack of depth of the professors at Stanford to be able to address fundamental questions of life. And therefore, packed my bags, headed to Israel, and I was there for 2 years in various yeshivas and came back to finish at Stanford in the fall of 1995. And so I had come back to campus and there really weren't any, there were just no undergraduates with a yarmulke on. I think I was the only Shomer Shabbat observant undergraduate on campus at the time. There were a couple grad students. I'm telling you, I don't know what, I heard Stanford has more now, but back then it was a huge rarity. And I have to say, it was a year that I was tested in a lot of ways. It was very lonely. It was a very lonely year. You know, I was very proud of being Jewish, but you walk around, you're the only one with a yarmulke on. You're the only one. That's it. You know, and I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't going to stop keeping kosher. I wasn't going to stop doing Shabbos. But by halfway through the year, it definitely, I definitely felt a weight of the loneliness of being the only one. Until that Friday, January 5th, 1996, when I had an airport run. I don't even remember who I was picking up, but I was picking up some family member who was coming into town. And there it was, all of the sudden, as I'm parked at SFO terminal, at the picking up spot, I see it. A wave. Not one, not 10, not 100. And honestly, I don't even think 200. I think it must have been 300 or more. Green Bay Packers fans descending upon San Francisco International Airport who have flown in the Packer faithful to support their eventually winning team for their game against the San Francisco 49ers. And as this wave, this tidal wave of green and yellow comes, literally surrounds my car as they go to their buses, many buses taking them to wherever they were staying, I noticed something so salient, that was sticking out, that was so noticeable, is that in public, many of them, I would even say most of them, were wearing cheese heads, styrofoam cheese heads, like Hasidic strimals, but instead of fur on them, they were wedges of cheese. And I was so overwhelmed. It was just, I couldn't help myself noticing this. And then it dawned on me. This was the moment. This was the divine moment where God, Hashem, was tapping me on the shoulder. And the idea entered my head. I said, Garfinkel, these men and women, adult, grown men and women, are not embarrassed to walk around in public with a styrofoam piece of cheese on their head because of their affiliation to a football team. You can wear your yarmulke affiliating with the team captain of the universe to show that you're a proud member of the Jewish people, the greatest and most glorious nation ever to live, representing God's word on planet Earth. That was inspiring. If they could do it for the cheesehead, so too I could do it for the Almighty. And I finished that year at Stanford and went back to yeshiva. And I never looked back. I never looked back. Never looked back after the pack. After those Green Bay Packers. So wherever you are, those Green Bay Packers fans, God bless you. You taught me an amazing lesson that we need to stand up strongly and firmly for who we are and what we believe. And we are that nation. We are that same nation that Hashem took out of Egypt 3,335 years ago. And we're still going with the pharaohs of today. And we are not going to back down. We're not going to back down then. And we're not going to back down now. And I give us all a blessing that this week, let us internally, you don't have to go outside on the sidewalk and proclaim with a bullhorn, but for ourselves, that we are Jewish and we are proud and we're going to grow and we're going to learn more and we're going to share that light. God bless. Have a great week. Looking forward to seeing you back right here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.